extensive theories of this case, but I assure you that they are multifarious, and I don't want to offer any just because it's a theory. I want to explore and eliminate what cannot be established as well as what it can. It isn't the idea. I haven't given a single witness here that I have some information as to what they're supposed to testify to that I think needs being tied down so that we'll know how to make our decision, how to make our plea, and how to prepare the case for trial. What not to use if we certainly don't want to start out our case in rabbits when we're hunting bear. And I don't know anything. It seems to be a part of the semantics of the philology of prosecuting attorneys everywhere, this phrase of fishing expeditions. I don't know of any law, and certainly it's not mentioned in the rules of this court, and it's not mentioned anywhere in the Constitution, and it's not mentioned in the Code of Criminal Procedure of the state of Tennessee, and it isn't outlawed by the Constitution of the United States. And all depositions, whether it be in civil cases or criminal cases, Your Honor, all depositions are in the nature of an exploratory operation, which you can, if you so desire, categorize as a fishing expedition. But whatever it is, it's in the interest of justice, to cite which I respectfully call the court's attention, that more than 95% of all damage suits are settled after depositions are taken. That wouldn't have been settled had the procedure been, we'll bring them in here, and we won't permit you to explore, to find out what you can prove and what you can't prove. I respectfully differ with the philosophy inherent in the argument or thinking of the distinguished gentleman representing the great state of Tennessee as to the most of purpose of. If we're willing to spend the time and the money that's necessary to establish whatever is true by witnesses that they say are material witnesses in the case, we ought to be permitted to investigate it now. It may be that some of the facts will be prejudicial that we find. If so, it's up to us to find if we can. As citing Baker and the other man, Harris, both of whom, my information is, were present at the purchase of the alleged guns, the bargain shooting here, we certainly are entitled to know whether or not other people were present that might have facts that some of these witnesses have, and that their recollections might be different. Otherwise, there'd be no purpose in a trial at all. There'd be no reason for having a defense attorney. The prosecution would have an undue burden, though, if it undertook to represent both the place, the state, and the defense. We think that the only ruling the court should make is that each, any, all, and every witness here be deposed. And getting down to what, again, Your Honor, a point of departure in my thinking, and I hope the courts and that of the prosecution. Most prosecuting attorneys everywhere, and some judges, believe that the only thing they should do is what they have to do. May it please the court, a litigant has the same right to a rightful ruling if it's an open question at the trial level as he has at an appellate level. More facts and factors could come into the consideration of a trial judge than now at an appellate level, because that appellate judge is limited to whatever the record shows or reveals. And we're not saying that Your Honor has to do anything. We're just saying that Your Honor has the right to do it, and if the proper administration of justice dictates to Your Honor's judgment that it should be done, then that it should be done, regardless of whether you have to do it or not. I believe that's all I have to say, but let me look over here a minute and see. I believe that's all I have to say.
Well, gentlemen, I realize that I have discretion in these matters, but I think that I can see that I took an oath that I'd follow the law. I'd observe the Constitution of the United States, of this state, that I would fairly and without regard to persons administer laws of this state. Now, there's no such thing in Tennessee, as I understand the law, as discovery depositions in criminal cases. The general law on discovery depositions explicitly excludes criminal cases. So I think that we can go through right now, Mr. Foreman, we may have to talk about the three of these things. But I think that these witnesses that the state has, without qualification, has told me that they're under subpoena and they're going to be here and that you gentlemen are going to have a right to cross-examine them, I'm going to turn you down on your request to take their depositions. The ones that I've got are U.L. Baker is under subpoena. So someone, will you follow me there?
Yes,
will both of you follow me there so that I won't leave anybody out? U.L. Baker is under state subpoena, and therefore I'm going to deny you the right to take his depositions. Peter Chepe is, how we pronounce his name, is under subpoena. I'm going to deny you the right to take his deposition. Clyde R. Manasco is under subpoena.
I have a question there, Your Honor. I don't recall what the exact words of the gentleman were with reference to Mr. Manasco. I got a WDH and then I put a question mark. What was the statement of the... What was the statement of the state?
I have a yeah that he was under subpoena.
That was my state court.
All right. It's been stated to me that Reverend Andrew J. Young will be under subpoena by the state. He'll be in the same category. J.D. Garner is under state subpoena.
Before you have rules there, may we respectfully say that that testimony is material to a motion that will be heard or we'll ask the court to hear in advance of the trial. And if the state tells us they'll produce Mr. Garner at that hearing, we think it would put a different light on the case.
Well, I'm gonna put a little burden on you in a few minutes here about any hearings that you have on suppression, and I want a statement from you all in open court here as to who those people will be.
I already made it, John, and this is one of them.
This is one of them?
Yes, sir. He and Hitt.
He and Hitt.
Yes, sir. They're the two.
All right, sir. I think you have a right to have them take their depositions if you've stated to me that their testimony is material in the suppression of evidence. I think that in this state, it has a recent origin. In the last couple of three years, it's given the defendant in advance of trial the right to move to suppress evidence, and therefore I think it's my opinion that if you've got some state's witnesses that know about the circumstances surrounding the search, and are necessary to the defense to attack that search and move to suppress it, I think that they have a right to have those people here.
Your Honor, so then as I understand the court's ruling in regards to J.D. Garner, then the court is instructing the state to have those people here if the motion to suppress is made, and that alleviates the taking of their deposition. Is that my understanding?
I imagine that they would prefer to have them here rather than take the deposition.
No, sir, Your Honor, we'd prefer to take their deposition.
Well, I think if they tender them here, I'm not going to order the deposition. If you'll furnish them here at your convenience before the trial, we'll hear right here. Now, I understand that, let's see, who else is on the subpoena? I understand that George Bonebrake, agent, will be subpoenaed by the state, so
yes,
he will not, his deposition will not be taken by the defense. Now then, we've got a hit will be produced here. And I see that neither Swanson nor Loft have been subpoenaed by the state.
That's gonna...